It's Friday, December 28th, 2007. This is Jason Lopez of PodTech.net. One of the biggest debates in the IT world is how much of an impact software has on a company's profitability. Experts know there is one, but measuring ROI can be nearly impossible in many cases. Over the past 5 years, there has been new thinking about the role of hardware, which has a real presence physically and can be measured in terms of real costs. Formerly, just a dumb device on which the smarter software lived, microprocessors are being enabled with embedded software that can act on its own or help operating systems and applications run more efficiently. I talked with Intel's Steve Grobman, who heads up business client architecture at Intel.
What we're really trying to do is incorporate technology into the platform that solves business problems, so that the problems that the IT guys have that are fundamentally difficult to solve with software-only solutions. So every year we're incorporating new features into the platform that are targeting different sets of problems, and we've started this in 2006, and we'll release new capabilities every year.
What are some of the major updates that have occurred since 2006?
So if you look at our initial launch in 2006, we came out the chute with really two sets of technologies in vPro. We had our active management technology, which was all about enhancing manageability. So there's been software manageability forever. But what we found is about 20% of the problems that really weren't able to be solved with software manageability, we could solve by putting new management solutions in hardware. And that's what AMT is all about. So for those 20% of situations where you just couldn't solve the problem in software and traditionally would need to send somebody physically out to a desk to fix the problem, we can now resolve a very large portion of those with this active management technology and actually save IT in general about half their cost of management from what they had prior to having a vPro solution. Additionally, in 2006, the other big technology that we came out with was putting our virtualization technology into our CPU. So this is the thing that changed the underlying x86 architecture to make it very clean, very efficient to virtualize software on top of the PC. And then what we did is on 2007, we built on both of those technologies. So we did things such as in active management technology, we made deployment easier by introducing some new deployment scenarios and technology that helps with the deployment of AMT. We also moved to some new standard protocols, such as what's called WS management. This allows industry standard protocols to be used to interact with this AMT environment. And then on the virtualization side, we added our trusted execution technology that allows the secure launch of a VMM, as well as what we call our VTD technology, which allows things such as device assignment.
Well, now in 2008, another code word from Intel, Danbury. What does that mean?
So we are super excited about what we're going to be doing in 2008. It's a technology that right now is codenamed Danbury, and it's an integrated encryption solution that's taking storage encryption technology and integrating it into the vPro platform, but we're doing it in such a way that it not only enhances encryption solutions that exist by making them more secure, but even more important, it's making these solutions manageable such that IT is able to have an easier time of deploying encrypted solutions into the environment, managing encrypted solutions when they're actually deployed, and in some cases giving end users a better experience when they need to interact with these encrypted systems. And I'd be happy to walk you through some examples of all three of those key aspects of the Danbury technology.
Well, let's go through Danbury. Let's find out more about this technology and how it'll impact the IT administrator's life.
Sure. So, you know, the first kind of core thing with Danbury is we do move the actual encryption operations into hardware. And this does a few interesting things. Number one, it makes it such that those sensitive operations are no longer running in software. So various forms of software attacks can't access those critical operations. So this is something that resonates very well with IT, and one of the reasons that IT has been looking at hardware-based encryption for a very long time. The other thing that it does is it makes the solution be operating system and virtualization agnostic. So since the actual crypto operations are happening below all of the hardware, if there are things like operating system updates or service pack updates, or you want to run, you know, all sorts of interesting operating systems, you can do that. And because it doesn't require device drivers to interact with the encryption system, it all just kind of magically works. So that's the first big thing that's part of the Danbury technology is we get some inherent benefits by just where we do the crypto, and doing it in hardware is really the best place to do it.
Steve, I have a question for you that is around this idea of the nature of software and hardware over the past 10 years, because it seemed a while ago hardware was on its way to becoming a very cheap commodity, and it was the software that was going to be the thing that people were really seeking. I remember someone saying, yes, there'll come a day when you know, you buy almost any program and you get a free computer with it. But we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years how some pieces of software have kind of run their course, or at least they've come to a point where people are saying, you know, how much more power can you put in that spreadsheet program, or how much more power can you put in that document program? The power is now coming from the hardware side, and it's something that we hardly predicted in the IT world 10 years ago. I wonder if you could comment on this.
It's a great question, and I think part of it is at Intel, we're fundamentally looking at the role of hardware differently. In the past, I think traditionally, it's been about how can you simply make the hardware go faster. And what we did with things like vPro is we took a step back and we said, you know, what software is really doing is it's requesting the hardware to perform functions on its behalf. And there are certain types of operations that are inherently difficult or impossible to do in software only. But by providing some of those building blocks as new services in the hardware, we can not only make the hardware more valuable, but also enable the software to have a richer set of functionality. So, you'll see this in situations both with manageability with what we did with AMT as well as things with Danbury. So in the case of active management technology, you know, you've been able to use active management technology, or you've been able to use software-only capabilities to do things like allow an IT guy to remote control a user with software-based remote control. But what if that user has a problem with their BIOS, right? Because you can't get software up and running when the BIOS is executing, the BIOS screen configuration is running, IT would be out of luck in that scenario. What we're able to do with AMT is put functionality such that even if software is not running, you now can still remote control that machine in various scenarios, such as when they're using the BIOS. Or in a situation where the machine is completely broken, it's just in a continuous state of blue screen, and IT has made the decision that they just want to rebuild the machine, we have technology and active management technology where they can remotely boot the machine to a network image and get the user back up and running without trying to walk the user through a complex set of installation steps. You know, very similarly with Danbury, it's a very similar paradigm where there are tons of great full disk encryption products on the market today, and we see the opportunity to make those products better, right? So make it easier for IT to deploy those products by allowing them to patch these machines, by giving their end users a better experience. A good example is with many of the products on the market today that do encryption, if a user forgets their password and needs to get back online, we'll go through a little skit with their IT guy where they'll say, you know, my mother's maiden name and my first car, my pet, and they'll answer all these questions to prove to the IT guy that they really are who they say they are, and the IT guy will at some point figure out, all right, it really is Josh on the other end of the line, and then they'll read you over the phone a very long sequence of numbers or letters that you go ahead and physically type in. But you could be in a noisy environment, in an airport. You know, there might be language barriers or accent barriers between, help desks in different regions and the end user. And by having an ISV utilize our Danbury technology, it would let their IT guy go through the same, verbal set of confirmation to prove that, it really is the right person on the other end of the line. But then instead of reading them this very long string of numbers and letters, they could simply right-click in the ISV's console on the machine and say, allow unlock. And so to the end user, it's an infinitely better experience than what they have today. But it's simply making those products better, not trying to replace the software products that are on the market. And that's really the philosophy that my team uses, is what can we do in hardware that fundamentally gives the software guys new opportunities to have better products than what they can do with the facilities software has access to today.
What are some other things that Danbury promises for the IT staff?
So, one of the big things that I talked a little bit about is this out-of-band unlock feature. And it's interesting from a few aspects. Number one, it does allow IT to perform that unlock operation to do things like patching, but it also can make it such that multiple authorized software entities are able to perform that operation. So if IT chooses an encryption software package from one of the full disk encryption vendors, but is using a manageability solution from one of our active management technology manageability partners, Altiris or SMS, CA, HP OpenView, just as examples. There's a big long list of partners that we're working with on the AMT side. Any of those manageability ISVs can execute this out-of-band unlock operation for scenarios where they need to get that machine on the network, but the actual core crypto capability can still be managed by a different vendor. So we make it such that all of the crypto vendors of the world don't need to work with every single one of the manageability vendors, and we solve this N by M complexity matrix that would exist otherwise. The other really interesting thing about this is we can make it such that different classes of users are able to perform operations that need to happen fairly frequently, such as unlocking a machine in order to patch it, without giving those users the full access to recovery keys that would generally only need to be used in very rare disaster scenarios, such as, if the motherboard or chipset itself was damaged and you needed to pull the drive out and recover it on a different machine. So the way that we can facilitate this is part of the active management technology and Danbury architecture can utilize enterprise authentication and authorization protocols like Kerberos, and specifically the Active Directory security paradigm around Active Directory group membership. So if there's a specific group in Active Directory that IT wants to use to grant a certain set of users privilege to perform this operation, so if there's a, Intel remote drive unlock operators and somebody should be a member of that group today because that's part of their job, if they go and get another job tomorrow where they no longer need that privilege, they can simply be removed from that group in Active Directory and no longer have access to unlock those drives. And IT hasn't needed to touch, all of the machines in the enterprise in order to make that happen.
Steve Grobman is the Director of Business Client Architecture at Intel. This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez.